After an insane day of fantasy, to say the least, we're going to break it all down for you. All the good cash and all the bad just trash. Let's get straight to it.
Welcome to the Fantasyland Football Podcast.
All righty.
What's happening, people?
What's popping, people? It is... Well, I mean, when you're listening to this, it will be Monday.
Yeah.
September 20th. We have just finished our live stream, Talk It Up, over there on YouTube, youtube.com/FantasylandFootball. You can also watch it on Twitch, twitch.tv/FantasylandFootball. We just finished our live stream covering the Sunday night game. Ravens somehow beat the Chiefs. We are also joined here with good friends of the show, Luke Rogers and Steve. Luke, you're obviously a Ravens fan. What does this mean for you?
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah, huge. If you go back and watch the live stream, because the video will be on your YouTube, you can see what it meant to me when Lamar converted that fourth and one. That's pretty much how it was.
That's exactly how it sounded.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I think given the injuries we had, and everyone had pretty much written us off, including myself, if I'm being perfectly honest, against the Chiefs, and for us to put up that kind of performance, and I'm so happy for Lamar as well. Just super stoked. Cloud nine.
I also gave up on you.
You did.
Just to
you
be clear. I said there's no way that the Ravens won that game. Lamar Jackson, 16 rushes over 100 yards. That's just what a dual threat quarterback.
That's what he'll do. That's Lamar, baby.
That's what happens when JK blows his knee and Gus blows his knee too.
A lot of blowed knees.
A lot of blowing. A lot of stuff that shouldn't be said.
A lot
said
of blowing
here.
Going on in Baltimore. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, nothing much. Just excited for the Packers game tomorrow, but happy the Ravens won.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was my pick of the
Steve,
day.
To be fair, you had talked about how they're gonna run the ball a lot, Baltimore would, and that's how they would win the game. I would argue that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, they had to waste time off the clock, and the best way to do it is by running.
Yeah,
yeah.
Kansas City could not stop anything on the ground.
No.
And honestly, if Lamar hadn't thrown those two picks, Baltimore would have won this game easily.
Yeah.
So,
I forgot about that.
From a perspective of like, oh, is there hope for the Ravens? Yeah, there's hope for the Ravens. Let's get Bateman back and we'll see. I think the Chiefs will be fine.
Yeah.
This is just a good game that the Ravens won. It's just, hey, we got you this time.
Yeah.
All right, on the show today, we are going to bring you straight cash and just trash. If you don't know how this goes, we are going to break down all the good and bad that happened this week in fantasy. Obviously, there's still the Monday night football game to talk about. So why don't we talk about that quickly?
Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute? Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute?
I've been playing a sound effect in, but Doc's just talking directly over it the entire time.
We could restart that. My bad. So, yeah, go for it again.
It's too late. The sound effect's already there. I'm literally looking at Badaki and I'm like, shut up. If you're listening to that, you're like, what is going on?
I just didn't have any eye contact. That's my fault.
Eye contact's key, bro. Look into my eyes.
All the time.
I'm looking to Zach's eyes.
Okay. All right. So obviously we have the Lions Packers. I know, Badaki, this was your upset of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you do that just to be bold. Do you actually believe the Lions will win
this game? Yeah, I said it in the chat. I definitely do believe the Lions can beat the Packers. I know Steve probably doesn't like that. First thing Steve said when he walked into the room, he in the studio, he goes, I don't know, man. They could lose.
Yeah, I said that because I haven't seen anything yet this season to prove otherwise.
Yeah, it's only one game currently, for me, I think from what we saw from the Lions last week, they were down, but they can move the ball. They know how to move the ball. I think the biggest question is, can their defense stop Aaron Rodgers? I don't think that's the case. It's going to be a shootout in my opinion, or not really a shootout. He's just going to dump it off to Swift or Jamal Williams, Jared Goff, and take off.
Yeah.
But
Yeah,
there's a chance. There's, I mean, really a 20% chance they win this game. It's not big, but I like bold predictions.
I think it's 50-50. I'm gonna go. This is the reason why. No, this is the reason why is because I think our offense is going to perform. The biggest thing is our defense going to show up other than just Jair Alexander
and
maybe two guys on the front line.
Right.
And I know that I think Detroit could possibly run over us. And that's what's scary.
Yeah. I think we saw it last season with the Packers. They really struggled with the ground game. And Detroit's offense, they don't have anyone apart from Hockenson. So they're going to have to go through the ground game.
Yeah.
So there is an avenue. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there is an avenue for them to win for sure.
If you're betting on this game, my advice, do not bet on the Lions.
Same.
Just do not be betting on the Lions.
Do
whatever you want with your money, but if you don't want to lose it, probably don't bet it on the Lions.
Definitely bet on the Packers.
But anything is possible here, obviously. This has been a storyline I've seen on ESPN every day. What happened to the Packers? Is Aaron Rodgers really there? Is he ready? Is he already in his mindset? Is he already somewhere else? Oh my God! I watched all of it. I ate all that shit right up. But I'm excited for Aaron Rodgers to just calm everyone down and be like, "Hey, look, chill. We're okay." Do we want to give quick predictions like we would on a live stream? We don't go live for Monday Night Football because I'm working and Badaki's working and you guys are working. So. Just quickly, we'll do a quick fire round, okay? I want you to answer in 10 seconds or less your score prediction. Obviously, you'll give us a winner with that. And who you think the MVP of the night will be. Luke, go first for us.
Score prediction, I think it's going to be big. 35-10 to the Packers. I think the MVP will be Tay Adams because I need a 30 bomb from him.
I like it. I like it. Steve?
I'm also going to go big. I'm going to go... I want to say 38.
Ooh, okay.
To 14 Packers, okay. MVP. Devontae Adams or Jones, one of those two.
All right, yeah. Badaki.
Well, obviously, my upset's the Lions. So for me, I would probably say 32 for the Lions. I don't know, is that even possible? I can't even think. Math is hard right now.
31 would make more sense.
Yeah. So 31-30. They could win by a field goal. And Swifty.
Okay. I'll see this as a slightly lower scoring game. I would say the Packers 24, Lions 10. I don't think it's going to be an exciting game. I want to be wrong, but it just feels like, the Packers have this, and we kind of just have to watch this game until it's over. But
unlucky.
Week 2 is in the books. If you are sad, welcome. So am I. We'll be sad together. Most of my teams underperformed, especially in money leagues. But before we talk about the trash, let's talk about the cash.
If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Great cash, homie.
All right, so we talk about cash first. Players that had amazing weeks. Let's talk about, will this continue? Is this a one-timer, a one-hit wonder, or is this a trend that's going to continue? Mm-hmm. We'll start at the quarterback position. Who was the highest-scoring quarterback on the week?
Kyler Murray. And you're saying that as if I should feel bad or something. Once again, Kyler Murray. He played great. He's, what did he have? Four touchdowns, actually, because he threw for three and ran in for one. But yeah, look, it's just typical. Kyler, Lamar, Tom Brady, and Daniel Jones are the top four quarterbacks this week, which is really interesting. Lamar came in last minute, swooping into number two.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to see.
The rushing upside, I mean, two rushing touchdowns, 107 rushing yards. Passing game was actually shocking.
Mm-hmm.
239 for a touchdown and two interceptions. So it's definitely the rushing upside that propelled him into that quarterback two position. But I think Lamar is going to have games like this, but he's also going to have games where it's too much and he's going to score, you know, under 20 points. I think there's going to be a lot of games like this where the pressure's too much. He can't carry the game in that particular game. But this week it looked great. I mean, if you have Lamar in fantasy, you're cheering.
Yeah. Yeah, we said before the games and the predictions that if the Ravens are going to win, it's going to be Lamar who's going to be the MVP, and he proved that today.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree as well. I agree. Yeah. I think sometimes he does try to play hero ball and it's too much for him. So
yeah,
he's going to have those blowout weeks and he's going to have those down weeks for sure.
Yeah. Yep. I know you wanted to quickly skip over Kyler. I want to talk about him for a second though. obviously this is...
He really wants to talk about Kyler. Okay.
You don't want to talk about Kyler?
No, we could talk about Kyler.
Okay.
That's not that I want to skip over, but...
Yeah.
Continue.
400 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns, the 2 interceptions. They looked pretty bad, but man, the upside for Kyler on a weekly basis is so high. I'm not sure anyone should be trading away Kyler. We've had a couple people message us on Patreon and be like, "Oh, should I move Kyler for this?" Kyler feels like a guy you should probably not be moving for almost any price this year, in my opinion. But Aki, I want to ask. Because I ask it every week, when will you say you were wrong?
I said, I'm going to say it every week, every time you ask me. It's till the end of the season.
End of the season.
If he's not top three by the end of the season, then I was right. He's been.
You were right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I said he won't finish top three at the end of the season.
It was top five before the season.
Oh, okay. So top five.
Well, before the season was top five. Now it's top three.
I'm making it harder for myself, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? Well, it's either top three or top five.
You're actually making it easier for yourself to say he's not top three.
Okay, so it'll sorry. So top five. If he finishes top five, that's great. But, you know, I think he has two really good matchups against Tennessee. And then the Vikings, I would like to see how he would go against, you know, he has another great matchup against Jacksonville. The Rams, San Francisco looks like he doesn't have a good defense. He looks like he has a really easy schedule.
Well, the Rams are a great defense, bro.
I said the Jags. Sorry, I meant to say the Jags is a really easy matchup, and then the Rams in Week 4. So I want to see how he will hold up against a top tier defense, because clearly these two defenses aren't top tier.
Yeah,
that he just played Week 1. So
okay, Tom Brady throws 5 touchdowns. When I originally said he would throw 50, it was a big reaction, understandably.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel more on board with my prediction at this point?
No.
You don't think he's going to throw 50 touchdowns?
I think it will slow down. It's two bad defenses. Once again, you have to see it's Dallas and Atlanta, both two terrible secondaries. They exploit it. Can he do it against the Rams? We'll see.
What about you boys? You guys think he's going to throw 50 this year?
You can go.
I do. Yeah. I just think he's never really had these weapons at his disposal. He's looking great out there. Like, there's been years when he's come out and he hasn't looked that great. Maybe that's because of the play calling or the team he's had around him or whatever. But this year, he's just firing on all cylinders. So I think he will go for 50, yeah.
You think about it, right? I mean, 50 sounds big. With the extra game, you only need to throw 3 a game.
Yeah. And he's on 8 now, is he?
He's on
after
9.
9 after 2, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's on 9. Tom Brady's obviously a must start. Daniel Jones sneaking in there. As the quarterback 4, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
Is this someone we might see on waivers, or was that just a good game? I don't think I'm comfortable starting him now that was a great game. But
no, I'm not comfortable starting him. I definitely have him in a couple leagues that I started him because that was like one of my late rounder picks for Daniel Jones, and he showed up this week, but he's not an every week start I'm excited about.
Yeah, I get that. All right, let's move on to the running back position. Obviously,
Darker.
Pains me to say.
The king himself.
And I'll tell you a little story. I was up big. And then I drove to Badaki's house. And on my way to driving to your house, Badaki,
mm-hmm.
1 hour, that's all it took.
45 minutes.
When I left my house, Derrick Henry had 7 points. When I arrived to your house, he had 47 points.
Something special happened.
I lost multiple matchups because of Derrick Henry. And will I get over it? Potentially, but it's going to take a long time. Goes crazy. 35 carries, 182 yards, 3 touchdowns. He got 6 receptions as well for 55 yards. Finishing just under 48 points.
Over 200 yards.
Yeah.
This game, I mean, I saw a tweet saying that whoever's playing the Texans or the Titans, you need to start him. because they're giving up so many fantasy points.
At least last week. The defense is so bad.
Yeah, it looks terrible right now. So Derrick Henry is clearly, maybe it's just a good matchup, but he is the king. You clearly, I mean, you expect him to do that week in and week out.
Do you mean Seattle? I'm confused. What do you mean by that?
Oh, yeah, you play Seattle. Sorry. It was the Texans that are, they're giving up a lot of fantasy points, their defense. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, that's where I got confused.
I was like, wait, they're on the same, that is his team.
Derrick Henry is giving up a lot of points, yes.
You know what's funny is like before, at halftime, there's a bunch of people on our Discord who are like, oh my God, I'm going to trade Derrick Henry. Like, oh my God, he's not doing anything. And now if you have Derrick Henry, you're feeling fine, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. CMC did his thing as well. Classic. RB2 on the week, 24 carries, 72 yards. He did have a little bit of an injury there, but he looks fine. He came back into the game. He finished the game.
It was a short week this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes, but we should expect him
in
next week. Cordell Patterson finishing as RB3.
Yeah, Cordero.
Cordero.
So that's a hard one to say, Cordero.
English is hard just in general.
No, he looked good. Two touchdowns, one on the ground, one through the air. We told people to sit Mike Davis, and we said Cordell Patterson was a
Hail Mary.
A Hail Mary, but also a bigger part of the offense than you might realize, and I think that showed today. He'll probably be on waiver wires this coming week. Does anyone need a running back here?
Yes. I have Mike Davis. In one league.
That's actually painful then because you like pick up Patterson and then the next week it'll be Mike Davis. Yeah. That's painful.
Yeah. And it was against the Bucs defense as well, which we all know how running backs do against the Bucs defense. So good job.
Definitely. I mean, he was not efficient on the ground. 7 carries for 11 yards.
Yeah, but the receiving work, wasn't it?
The receiving work definitely propelled him. Tony Pollard finishes as an RB4. That is a surprise. Maybe we should talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Is Pollard a guy that you could start flexing now on a weekly basis?
He feels like a Nyheim Hines, Jaden McKissick role, I guess, from last year. Mm. I think he is somebody that you could flex in a desperation. Like, if I had a Mike Davis or a Tony Pollard coming into next week, depending on Mike Davis's matchup and Tony Pollard's matchup, I'd probably lean Tony Pollard. I think he's going to be in those conversations now.
And what's interesting as well is like this game was in the balance the entire time.
Yeah.
It wasn't as if the Cowboys just ran away with this game or anything. They used him when they needed to win the game, you know?
I think that's what's interesting.
What I want to make sure we say as well is don't freak out if you have Zeke. Zeke still had a great week. He was very efficient and he got touches. He's out-touched Tony Pollard both weeks. Yeah. So don't freak out if you have Zeke, but if you have Tony Pollard, be happy about the upside that's there.
I think I want to kind of play devil's advocate here because if I am a Zeke owner, he's only out-touched him by three touches. Tony Pollard had a lot more on the ground. He was 13 for 109, where Zeke was 16 for 71.
Yeah.
He was just more efficient. He was more efficient on the ground, what it seems like. And he was more efficient in the air as well, for 3 for 31 for Tony Pollard, and then 2 for 26 for Zeke. Yeah. So it seems like he is just performing a lot better overall.
I think sometimes that when you find a running back in that spell position, typically, they're in better opportunities within the offense.
But that's what Zeke, we want in fantasy. We want somebody that has a good opportunity, someone that's going to... The whole thing every year in fantasy is like, it's opportunity, you know?
Okay, what I'm trying to say is not opportunity-based, is more... When Zeke is in the game, he has to establish the offense. When Pollard comes into the game, typically the offense has already been established, and he is just adding on to it. So, Pollard's definitely valuable. I want him as a flex, but I'm not freaking out about Zeke at this point.
I'm not freaking out. I think I am. I have like, you know, that side eye on Zeke. Like, okay. I'll definitely be shopping him to see what I can get for him.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, because if I have Tony Pollard, if I'm one of the persons that picked up Tony Pollard with Zeke as the handcuff, I might as well keep Tony as my flex and see if I can kind of upgrade. Somehow, that's really hard to upgrade, maybe downgrade in the running back and upgrade in my wide receiver position to get some more value somewhere else.
You said you have Zeke?
Yeah, I have Pollard as well. So I have Zeke in two leagues, and in both leagues I drafted Pollard as a handcuff. Yeah. It's frustrating as like an owner of both, because I mean Zeke had good production this week, but so did Pollard. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't by many points that Pollard beat him out, but at the same time it does make you a little bit anxious about his involvement within the offense.
Yeah, I understand that. Good news is if Zeke does go down and you have Pollard, you probably have top five running back upside every week.
Yeah.
Eckler was back in form. He looks fine. After getting no receptions last week, he ends up with 9.
Mm-hmm.
As a running back, that's crazy. Good week for Najee. Just honorable mentions. James White, J.D. McKissic, Devin Singletary.
Ooh, ran out for that.
Yeah, he had that long run, didn't he?
Was it like 40, 50-yard mm-hmm. run? Went crazy.
Yeah, he looked decent. Don't expect those weeks for the Bills running backs often. Yeah. Wide receiver room. It was Cooper Kupp.
It's only Cooper Kupp. It was Cooper. It felt like the only person that you need to have on your fantasy team is Cooper Kupp. Yeah. I don't care if Tyler Lockett had 2 or 3 more points or less points than Cooper Kupp. You need to have him.
Why does it matter? I feel like
because Tyler Lockett finished as wide receiver too.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp just feels like still so much more valuable than Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
It just feels like. He feels like a Travis Kelce right now. Like, that's how valuable he is. He is clearly the only guy that Matthew Stafford likes to target, it feels like.
Oh, I mean, so that's a hard thing because Robert Woods still got a good amount of targets. Yeah. I think he got 9, if I'm not mistaken. Let me double check that.
He just seems to get the big players.
Matthew Stafford likes to throw it down the field.
Yeah.
It's clear, you know, like you want those chunk plays. He was 9 for 163.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy with 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you draft Cooper Kupp, take a victory lap because he looks to be on for a top 5. Is that crazy to say? Top 5 finish potentially?
Don't think so. I think that's very viable, to be honest.
Yeah.
Tyler Lockett, also, if you drafted him, it looks good right now. The consistency is going to be the worry for him going forward. Terry did his thing on Thursday night. Maybe a big surprise from this list is Courtland Sutton. Did anyone see Courtland Sutton having the game that he had?
No, I think we all knew he had the capability to do it. We just didn't know when that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jerry Jeudy goes down, and it was like, well, is it Courtland, KJ? Fant, who's going to be Fant, had a good production. We'll talk about him later. But Courtland, 9 for 159 yards.
Yeah.
It went 12 under the targets. Radar. It's crazy. He finished wide receiver four. I think he had a great day. This is something to look forward to. But once again, he did play the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's also a asterisk as well.
Yeah. I mean, who's he playing next week? The Jets. Another good start.
Yeah.
That must be a must
start. Yeah. Probably a must start against the Jets there. Just didn't look great. Rondale Moore, another surprise.
Mm-hmm.
A guy I've been in love with since the draft process. 7 receptions, over 110 yards and a touchdown. And he looks to be involved in a lot of different ways. If you grab them off waivers, you should feel really good right now about that. On to the tight end position. Travis Kelce is the number one tight end on the week.
Shocker.
No surprise. Guess who's right behind him?
I was going to say Mark Andrews, but...
Hey, Gronk.
Gronkowski.
Gronky. Yeah.
Gronk. Gronkowski. You're
looking at Luke for a reason. I was like, Ravens?
I was just more trying to, have any guesses type vibe? And then third, take a guess who was third. You're not going
to
get this.
Yeah, I don't want to.
No one will get this.
Max Williams.
Oh, for the Cardinals.
Yeah. Arizona Cardinals tight end. 7 receptions for 94 yards. I would not be going to the waiver wires to pick up a Max Williams. Would you guys?
No, too many weapons.
Yeah,
I'll take a 5 pass on that one.
Let me entertain the... Nope.
You spread the ball a lot today.
By the way, outside of these top 3, everyone else was just average. Like, it was 12, 13 points less. I mean, Mark Andrews was only 10.7.
Yeah, Waller had a quiet game for his standards.
Waller had it, yeah. So outside of those top 3, it's nothing to write home about. But Rob Gronkowski, is he a a must start weekly? That feels like a rhetorical question, but
yeah, he has to be a must start weekly. We had a lot of people saying Rob or somebody, and
start or sits.
Yeah, start or sits. Obviously, sorry, my bad. I'm so focused on these highlights. Sorry. I think Rob, you should be starting him week in and week out.
Yeah,
you have to, yeah. Unless you have a, you know, a Waller and a Rob. That's a bit hard, but that you'll be in a crazy position if you got those two. Mm. But I know we had a lot of
I've got Gronk and Waller in one of our leagues. And I was saying to you guys earlier, I think I might have to start Gronk in one of my flex spots at this rate.
Like, yeah,
it's crazy.
So good.
Yeah, definitely do that. But I think for me, a lot of the questions that we had was Kyle Pitts or Rob this past weekend.
Yeah. So obviously going forward, it seems like you have two good options because Kyle Pitts was very involved. And he looked good. Kyle Pitts looked good.
He did.
So, obviously when we have cash, we also have trash. Got to talk about the players who just did not live up to the hype.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
Had it all. He needs some milk.
All righty, the trash of the week. Let's start at the quarterback position.
A lot of disappointment.
I have one in particular. I would like to hear your guys' thoughts on if there's anyone in particular that you felt disappointed you this week. But to me, Dak Prescott has to be the one that stands out the most. 7 points, just under 7.5 points. After week one, where he put up, 38 points or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, it was around 30. That's a massive disappointment. I think everyone thought this game would be a shootout. It wasn't. Everyone probably bet the over on that game, and they lost money, unfortunately. But that looks like a disappointment to me when I look at all the quarterbacks. I'm thinking, who disappointed the most? Probably Dak Prescott.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be Dak Prescott. I think, obviously, I'll pick somebody else. I thought Joe Burrow disappointed me. I have him in a couple of leagues. He threw 3 interceptions. I think it was back-to-back-to-back interceptions. And they were on a good little pace there, and then he just kind of bottled it. I don't know what happened there. Maybe they got in his head.
Mental.
This was somebody that I started this week because of, you know, kind of what happened with Cooper Kupp and the Rams when they played in week one.
Yeah.
I thought they would have a little bit of not a field day, but a good day.
Yeah.
But that just wasn't the case.
Bears defense is legit for sure.
Yeah.
Anyone here have Herbert or Ryan Tannehill?
Both.
Yeah, both.
In a super flex league. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Disappointed. They just aren't the same. The Titans just aren't the same without Arthur Smith in terms of their offensive dynamic.
Yeah.
It's based off the play action last year and just seems to be... I don't know if Julio plays a part in that as well. But it just doesn't seem to be the same with Tannehill this season.
You know, we didn't talk about Julio, but he actually looked really good today. And I think that touchdown should have stood.
Yeah,
I don't think it should have been reversed. But so that would have helped Ryan Tannehill's, you know, stat line a little bit. But yeah, Justin Herbert, Ryan Tannehill definitely have let people down. Who'd you start over Sam Darnold?
I started Jared Goff.
Okay, so we're yet to see.
But the guy that I started as well on that Superflex league was Jameis Winston.
Right.
It's another guy that disappointed. That was your upset of the week with Carolina over the Saints. Mm-hmm. He definitely disappointed. He looked like the old Jameis, just throwing pick after pick after pick, just chucking it up, seeing if someone's going to make a play, and that just wasn't the case this week.
Steve, does that make you feel worse about the Packers after seeing the Saints' performance this week?
I mean, to be honest, not really.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, the team had an extra week to prepare.
Yeah.
For what they, I guess, saw against the Packers.
They saw. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's the Packers defense. There's not much I can really say.
We also
it's
don't
not
know,
top five.
I was going to say, we also don't know too much about the Panthers yet. Like, they could be much improved compared to last season.
I think they definitely are much improved. Mm-hmm. I think they are a great team. They are a team that can compete. I don't know if they are a playoff team yet.
I think they could be. Could be.
I would like to see them play.
The defense is better than people give it credit for. I mean, I obviously am a Washington fan, but I think Brian Burns was... He should have been the defensive rookie of the year, in my opinion. He put up a much better stat line than Chase Young did. And J.C. Horn looks good. This defense is better than people give it credit for. So, yeah. The last thing I want to talk about is Zach Wilson. You know, terrible day.
What was his final stat line?
His final stat line. If you started him in fantasy, I'm sorry. but he threw 4 interceptions, 210 pass yards, 4 interceptions. It was rough. The Bill Belichick treatment. Yeah. Well and truly.
Classic on the
rookie QB. It just happens. You know, it's just not okay.
And it's hard for Jets fans because they're watching Sam Darnold ball out.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the question's going to always be raised, whether it's fair or not. Should you have stuck with Sam and moved out of the 2 spot or drafted someone around him? So that's a question he's going to have to face his entire life. Let's move on to the running back position. A lot of disappointments, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, does anyone have any running backs on their team that let them down that you can just think off the top of your head?
Oh, yeah. Mike Davis. Get it together.
Listen to the podcast, Steve. Watch the video.
Sit him.
To be fair, I actually had no one else. Yeah. I had Josh Jacobs, who's out.
Yeah.
Right. There's not much I can do, and the other guys are literally handcuffs. Carlos Hyde, you can't start him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Obviously, some big names let people down as well. Ronald Jones.
Yes, Ronald Jones, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a handful of guys. Honestly, the list can go on and on.
I would say Elijah Mitchell was a letdown, but we talked about this on the live stream. I just want to clarify. I think I am encouraged by what I saw from Elijah Mitchell today and his status in that backfield. Trey Sermon only came in on one play, fumbled it, got a concussion, and... Hasty looked good, but they still gave all the work, all the opportunity to Elijah Mitchell, and I think that has a lot to do with what they see from him in training, in camp, and practice. So I think Elijah Mitchell, to me, this was more about how good the Eagles' defensive line was, rather than saying that Elijah Mitchell had a bad day. If you actually watch the game, the Eagles' defense was always in his face every play. So I'm actually encouraged by him going forward. Joe Mixon definitely had a down game compared to last week. Same, Myles Gaskin didn't have an amazing game. Melvin Gordon, mm-hmm. Saquon, Antonio Gibson, James Robinson. How about Michael Carter kind of sneaking in there?
Yeah, I started him in desperation.
He was actually efficient, which is something he's not been.
And I think that's good. You know, that's hope. 11 touches for 59 yards. Caught the ball 2 times in the backfield. I think this is what we said. You know, you probably see him build into this role and get this role towards the middle of the season. You know, it's obviously week 3. Hopefully he's going to continue to grow coming into week 3. Who does he play? He plays Denver. It's going to be a bit hard, but it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of helps this offense.
Yeah, agreed. Does anyone have Clyde and is worried about him?
I just traded him away.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I have Clyde.
I'm worried about Clyde.
I have Clyde. I'm definitely worried. He 13 for 46.
They just don't look at him.
No, they don't look at him. They don't look at him at all. You spend all this money, obviously, on this offensive line, not just for Clyde, but obviously for Patrick Mahomes and to protect him. But, you know, utilize the run game.
Well, even tonight, it let them down that they did that because of the fumble.
Yeah, yeah. And that was Clyde's fault. So
that was definitely Clyde's fault. You're right.
GG's to Clyde, just letting everyone down.
Honestly, I'm worried about Clyde. I think the question is, do I trade him? But I don't think you're going to get value to trade him. Right. I don't think you can trade him. You probably have to ride him out.
Yeah, I think you have to. He's still one of the best offenses. It's just when, you know, this year feels weird.
Explain.
Because last year, everyone came off strong in the run game. Mm. It felt like everyone was running. Everyone was going. Dalvin was going crazy. Aaron Jones was going crazy early.
Yeah. Josh Jacobs even.
Josh Jacobs went crazy early, but it's actually reverse. It's all in the air.
Yeah.
No one's. This was the first week Or was it? Was this the first week that somebody ran for over 100? Not the first week, sorry.
Well, still, there's just not many 100-yard performances.
Yeah, exactly. 100-yard performances. So I think it's actually going to flip. Mm. Maybe that can be a trend that we can probably see. Like, everyone's throwing the ball right now. And then maybe mid-season, you're like, you know what? All right, now let's just try to establish this run game. Yeah. We established the pass. This is what's key right now in the league. Mm-hmm. Let's get this run game going. Because you thought the same thing with the Bucs and Ronald Jones. You thought they were going to run on the Falcons because that's what the Eagles did last year. They just
played a better game than people thought they would. The Bucs actually needed to throw.
Yeah.
They needed to throw the ball.
But I think a lot of teams that were able to run the ball just decided not to. Besides CMC. Like, you had CMC and you just give the ball to him. But everyone else was like, oh, you know what? It's all right. We'll throw the ball.
Yeah.
It's weird.
All right. Wide receivers who let down. Does anyone have any that come to mind immediately?
Yes.
Yeah.
Corey Davis.
Mm.
God, I don't even know how many points. I don't even know if he got many points. But Zach Wilson, help me out, man. I'm actually worried to start him, like, because I don't know how that his quarterback's going to be week in and week out. So it's like he is the number one receiver.
Yeah.
Is he going to get any production?
Matchup too. Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's just like, do I trade him? Do I wait until he has a good game and then just dump him off to someone?
Yeah.
There's good. A lot of people that just didn't perform this week in the wide receiver room.
Let's quickly talk about Corey Davis,
though. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Just to add on to that, I just wanted to say, like, Corey Davis was 2 for 8 out of 5 targets. So 2 for 5 at 8 yards, 2.8 points.
Sorry.
Does that throw up for you?
Me throw up?
Yes. Like in your brain?
Yeah, everything you just said, I was trying to track with.
he was targeted 5 times and caught the ball 2 times.
Yeah.
He was only had 8 yards.
Yeah. So sometimes when you say 2 for this and you say the targets, most people would say, like, the receptions for the yards. You know what I mean?
Well,
he was 2 for 8.
I usually say the targets with the yardage. So he was 2 for 8 and then 5 targets. But anyways. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Only 2.8 points. It's definitely a letdown. I'm concerned. Elijah Moore did better.
Mm.
I'm not saying Elijah Moore is a start or you should go pick him up or if he's available. But it's clear that defense was just eliminating Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Mm. And it was like, you're not throwing to anyone.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a word of caution with that is Bill Belichick just seems to get in rookie QB's heads.
Yeah, definitely.
We saw it last year with Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the best rookie QB seasons ever was absolutely woeful against the Patriots.
Definitely. Yeah.
So I wouldn't be too stressed just yet.
Agreed.
And he is still the number one wide receiver on that team. So if Wilson can get something going, I think Davis owners will be okay.
Oh, that's definitely a good point. Mm-hmm. Brandon Ayuk, another stinker.
Mm. Oh.
If you started him, you got 1.6 points.
I've got one.
Yep.
Amari Cooper.
Ooh, yeah, that was interesting.
Let me down as well.
Yeah, it was after his week last week. Mm. And you said it before, everyone thought it was going to be a shootout. Everyone would have gone the over. I thought so too. A lot of people did. And it just seemed to be CeeDee Lamb was the guy to go to in this game.
But yeah, which is weird because they really needed Amari Cooper. You have to assume that's game plan. You know, it's and maybe it's just a bad week. You don't not start Amari Cooper next week.
Yeah, 100%.
You have to start him. 100%. It sucks, though. It sucks that happened. Names that come to mind, Laviska Shenault obviously got injured. We'll have to monitor that. Jarvis Landry, our start of the week, got injured after, like, the first play, which he caught a pass and then got injured. Mm-hmm. So that's unfortunate. Marquez Callaway, Antonio Brown, right, after that big game.
We said that, like, hey, he's a boom or bust. We're not excited to start him, but expect him not to go crazy.
Mm. I continue to believe that throughout the season.
Yeah.
Devonta Smith, only 3.6 points, definitely let you down. Unfortunately, that's just how it is. I mean, Tyreek Hill has to fall under this list.
Yeah,
under 6 points after coming out last week and going absolutely crazy. AJ Brown. I think these high-tier guys, you just chalk it up and say, hey, this is a bad week.
Yeah.
Let's move on to next week. I'm still starting you.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about somebody I know that you're concerned about, maybe people are concerned about, Robbie Anderson?
Yeah.
3 for 38.
I hate it.
This is a guy that, you know, a lot of people passed up on DJ Moore to get Robbie Anderson because of his value in drafts. And now he is just not.
We were completely wrong on that.
He's just not that guy.
We were completely wrong on that. And I think it's because Christian McCaffrey wasn't there when Robbie broke out. Mm-hmm. And CMC's taken like 9 to 10 mm-hmm. receptions a game. Yeah. And the quarterback change. They actually want DJ to be the wide receiver one. It's very clear the way they're feeding him.
I think we were kind of leaning towards DJ Moore as we got closer to the season.
We were, but we still preferred the draft value of Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. So, anybody want Robbie?
No.
I've been trying to trade him all week.
No.
Yeah, I've been trying
to. I think I sent a trade to everyone here. Except
not
maybe you.
Not me.
Yeah.
I think he knows I want to accept it.
No, I just didn't like anyone on the team.
He's trying to dump him off to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, still available. is there anyone else that stands out to you at the wide receiver position?
No, I think that's really it. You know, there's just a lot of disappointment. Once again, this year feels weird. People that you don't expect... Or you expect to be anchors on your team, not Jacoby Myers. I think I was a little bit disappointed in, you know, guys like that. I hope
Darnell Mooney outscores Allen Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Just things like that. So DJ Chalk obviously didn't help either. I think I don't know if you said that earlier already.
Yeah.
Just these guys that you hope to help your team just wasn't happening this week.
Yeah, unfortunately, that happens. Okay, before we end this segment, is anyone have anyone else on their mind that's like, this guy went crazy or was really bad? Anything in particular? I think we covered it all, but in case you're like,
think we covered it all. I think for me, just off the bat, like someone that I'm excited about is Tyson Williams. We just saw him. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm excited about, but I'm a little bit more comfortable having him than Elijah Mitchell, for example.
Yeah.
Someone that you're excited about. Obviously, that running this backfield is a running back by committee, but I think Tyson is just, he's the favorite.
He looked good.
Yeah. He looks explosive.
Explosive, yeah.
Every single run was a positive gain. He's going to understand the offense and his role is going to get bigger and bigger as the season continues, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I liked him a lot.
As he continues to gain chemistry with Lamar, he will only get better, in my opinion, as well.
Yeah.
Someone who I'd like your opinions on, actually, which we haven't talked about, was Alvin Kamara.
Mm.
Ooh,
only had 7 points on the sleeper app this week.
Yeah.
And barely got any receptions. I think he rushed for, I think he had like 20 yards, 24 yards or something rushing.
It almost feels like they're trying to figure out ways to utilize him naturally, but they haven't figured that out yet.
Mm.
And the schedule doesn't get easier. New England, the Giants, a good defense, Washington. So I'm worried about Alvin Kamara as well, because you probably drafted him at 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll figure it out, and you still have to start him. I don't think now's the time to trade him because you're not going to get enough value in a trade for him right now, especially after that performance.
I just don't know anyone is going to want Alvin Kamara. You know,
like, I want Alvin Kamara.
I don't think I would want Alvin Kamara just because this offense is completely different. Jameis is not a guy that checks down. Jameis is always looking downfield just to go crazy. And if he does have the time to check down, he's probably already getting sacked. Mm. Or he threw it. He's not accurate, you know, when it's close.
Yep.
So, and that's the whole thing about Alvin Kamara. He catches the ball in the backfield or in an out route, whatever the case may be, and Jameis just can't do that.
Yeah.
So, I think
I'd agree.
I'm just not a guy that
I still want him personally because I think I could get maybe a discount for him at this point. I might try and trade for him after week 3. I think week 3 he's going to have another stinker. And then I think I could trade for him pretty low. I still think they're going to try and find a way to utilize him within the offense. They need Patriots. Him to be great in order for them to be a good team. they can't win games if Alvin Kamara is not great. And I believe that Sean Payton is going to be able to figure out a way to do that.
Well, Alvin Kamara was
definitely
not
a good place to be in, though.
Alvin Kamara wasn't great week one. He didn't have an amazing game, but he played.
It's average. It was like 15-ish. Yeah,
exactly. He got 18 points.
18, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think he just set such a standard last year with Drew Brees, hey, where it was like the check down was always there.
It was always there. You know, Drew knows how to go through progressions where Jameis is just waiting for the guy to beat the streaker.
Jonathan Taylor also had a pretty bad game, by the way. Yeah. 15 carries, 51 yards in a reception.
How did Naeem Hines go against Jonathan Taylor?
Not good.
Taylor?
I think he got like 3.5
points.
Not
good. Not good at all.
It could get worse with Wentz being out.
Yeah. Yep. I still believe in Jonathan Taylor, but it definitely limits his upside if Wentz is out.
Yeah. You know me, how I feel.
How are we not talking about Michael Pittman just quickly?
Oh, yeah.
Michael Pittman did really, really well.
Well, that also...
Yeah, but that's also dependent on...
On Carson Wentz. Yeah. Everyone here is dependent on Carson Wentz on this team, you know?
No, definitely, but... Even if Carson Wentz didn't get injured, no one was riding the Michael Pittman train.
Yeah.
You know, I hailed him as like a sleeper this year, but I wasn't telling anyone to start him this week either. It was definitely stash status.
It wasn't the best start.
Yeah, but this looks good. I mean, this looks like they were trying to feed him. It looks like Carson was looking for him early and often. If Carson Wentz is healthy, Michael Pittman's a guy I'm definitely interested in going forward. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's probably it for all the cash and trash today. Is that right, Badaki? Anything come to mind?
No, that's really it. I think, you know, keep in mind that it's still early in the season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't freak out.
It's only week two. Shop, but don't lowball yourself. Mm. I think that's the key part, because you know, people are going to be shopping high on Cooper Kupp. Maybe they don't believe he's going to be consistent, and they're going to want your number one, like a Travis or something crazy like that. Don't do it. You know, like Travis is still a lot more valuable than a Cooper Kupp. Take your time, see what happens. Just shop, ask some questions, put some feelers out.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we will see you on the next podcast, which is where we're going to be giving you trade targets for week three.
Oh, boy.
I think our trade targets hit pretty well last week. Yeah. So we will, Mike Evans, Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think we got some good ones coming up. And also, we told you to trade away AB. So they hit really well last week. That's good. Hopefully, we can do that again for you this week.
Tyrod Taylor.
Why are we talking about Tyrod Taylor? He's just on the screen right now.
He's on the screen, but... Keep eye on the Houston Texans. Something special is happening, even though they lost.
All right.
Talk it up.
All right. Well, we will see you on the next one. See you there.
See you there.
Hey. Yeah, you. The one listening to this podcast. You made a good decision today. Keep making those good decisions. You know what? Go ahead and do a little dance right now, like no one's watching. Cause you deserve it.